We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Report. Back again a little late if you're watching us live, but we're here. We are ready to talk week three. It was maybe not the best week from a fantasy perspective for at least the two of us and probably a lot of our listeners. But yeah, otherwise, how's it going?
Yeah, we're just taking it one day at a time. Well, my entire betting day just turned on this Brady stuff is happening right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Anyway, so long story short, yeah, it's been one of those days. But, you know, to bring some positivity to the show, a lot of rookies popped off today, man.
That's right. I mean, we can hop right into it. One of the rookies who kind of popped off is not someone that I drafted anywhere, because by the time he was trendy, he was too expensive. And really, I didn't think he was that good. But Damian Pierce rushed 20 times for 80 yards and a touchdown, catching both his targets for 21 yards. I mean, do you think Damian Pierce is for real? There's been talk the whole offseason that he was going to be the lead guy. What do you make of this stat line? You chasing this?
I'm not chasing it. I mean, people are anchored to where they were drafting him, right? Like, I think a lot of people are just going to use this as like a confirmation bias to where they were drafting him or, you know, overdrafting him. I think that he is the lead guy. I just don't see much by way of upside here, right? Like, this is kind of a really good, solid, like, upside game, I guess, for a running back, because considering how tough the position has been this season. Mm-hmm. And Rex Burkhead is dust and so on and so forth, right? And it also comes down to the fact that this team is really barren at receiver. They're rolling out the corpse of Chris Moore, if you remember him, as a wide receiver three.
I remember him from his days in Baltimore.
Yep. Brandon Cooks didn't do much of anything today. Like, Rex Burkhead was getting fed targets. Like, this is not necessarily an offense I truly want to target. I don't think I want to buy Damian Pierce at all. I mean, maybe from a prop betting perspective, you can find low lines or something. But even then, I'm not that confident in it, right? It's kind of a mixed bag, right? Like the Bears are one of the only few teams where you could truly hang in or hang around with them to where he's going to be able to get to put up these kind of stat lines.
I mean, if the Jaguars didn't look so good right now while they're playing, then I would say in the AFC South, he'd have a lot of games where he'd be able to, where they'd be able to hang around. The Colts, of course, beat the Chiefs today. The Jaguars putting up close to 40. So now I'm not so sure. Of course, it's just one game. But I mean, the other thing about this performance is that Burkhead had the 5 targets.
Yeah, that's the issue.
So, you know, in most game scripts the Texans are going to be in, Burkhead is probably the guy you'd rather have on your fantasy team.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not half people. I mean, like, I guess it depends. Like, it's so cost contingent, right? Because I don't think people are trading away Pierce. Like, I think they're
right.
Like I think there's like one of two camps, right? Like, okay, so the only like caveat, I'll caveat that there's been a bunch of QB injuries. So if there's any way for you to package Pierce plus another player and try and trade for a low end quarterback, like, I would be doing that if you really need the help, right? Like in super flex or two QB leagues.
That's true. I doubt many.
Like that's all I'd be doing.
Yeah, this you would use this as an opportunity to try to sell Pierce.
Yeah, I'd be trying to sell high to try and find or fit a position in need or even up tier at a spot, right? Like if you really are looking to capitalize on the fact that he had this big game early, right? Like we've talked a little bit about this, but like it's been a really, really, really bad run for the early round running backs. Christian McCaffrey, not good. Jonathan Taylor, not good. Austin Eckler, also not good. Today, Derrick Henry popped off. But Dalvin, for those of you listening. Sorry?
Dalvin Cook got hurt today.
So. Yeah, like I think people are looking for some kind of running back upside. Pierce kind of represents running back upside, right? Because like, oh, you couldn't buy him then. Maybe you can buy him now. So maybe you should go ahead and do that. Like, or you could probably try and swap him for a couple of players, right? I don't know, man. Like another running back plus or something, right? Right. Like I would say, a guy who I really was hoping would be popping off today was Treylon Burks, who got one of two targets for 13 yards in the Titans' Week 3 win over the Raiders. This was genuinely just a massive letdown spot for me and Burks. Okay. Like after coming off that massive game last week, I was really hoping Burks was set to like really start ascending. But no, we see Derrick Henry get 6 targets today, and he got 5 of those for 58 yards, right? And then Robert Woods, coming off an ACL tear, looked very spry, caught 4 of his 9 targets for 85 yards. And so this was where it got really frustrating because I wanted Burks to be a thing so, so badly. But going back to Pierce, like Burks plus who equals Pierce in your head?
Oh, man. I mean, obviously that depends on the format. You know, in Dynasty, there's no way that's even close. Like, you would have to give up way more than Pierce to get Burks. In Redraft, I don't know if I'm it's hard to put myself in this mindset since I don't own Pierce anywhere, but I wouldn't be buying him. I wouldn't sell Burks to get Pierce, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. I'm talking if you're rostering Pierce and who you're going to be trying to spin him for, right? If I could, I'd really want, and we'll talk about the Jets later, but a guy who I really want to buy into is Zach Wilson. And we'll get to those ideas later, but Pierce plus who equals Zach Wilson in a 2 quarterback league, right? I think that's where it gets difficult. Because you really, like, I think maybe Pierce plus Jahan Dotson. Dotson had a quiet day, but we can talk about him later. So I'll just remind me that when we get to that part of the show sheet, we'll bring that part up. But the reason I'm stalling is because I wanted to add, like, there's a good question here in the chat. Seth Cloutier asks, should I trade Jared Goff, Dalvin, and Sutton for Herbert, Breece Hall, and Mike Evans? I think I would do that trade. You're taking on a lot of the risk there at Herbert. So assuming this is a 1 quarterback league, which I think it should be, I think I'd much rather have the Breece Hall, Mike Evans side. Dalvin injured his shoulder. He didn't come back. Madison's always looked good in relief. And we can spin this forward as to why I want Breece is because today he rushed 8 times for 39 yards, but he caught 6 of his 11 targets for 53 yards. I mean, you know, so you're seeing this guy split the backfield with Michael Carter, but you're seeing him get a lot, and I mean a lot of targets coming through the air. The Jets want to play fast. They do want to play fast. That's why I was talking about Zach Wilson earlier.
Yeah.
They ran what? Like another week where they're cresting 80 plays?
At least 70. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so like this is like a team that, I mean, Flacco threw the ball 52 times, right? And I'm just going to do just a little bit of box score scouting here. Looking at the game log. Okay, so Flacco threw 52 times today. He threw 44 last week, and he threw 59 in week 1. Right? So this is why I was saying I wanted to buy Zach Wilson, because I want to buy this, like, the fact that this team is playing fast. They're just playing fast. I'm not so sure what to say when a 40-year-old noodle arm quarterback is feeding, you know, the top 4 guys plus Tyler Conklin like 10 plus targets each, right?
Well, this is a team that obviously they've been in a ton of losing game scripts, right? I don't know. They beat the Browns, obviously, but they were losing most of that game too. So it's a team that kind of plays the way you want teams to play when they're behind. So that doesn't seem like it's going to change. So I do think that this is an offense that you can buy into. I don't know about Wilson. Like Flacco, even though he threw 52 times, he only had 3.4 fantasy points because he just didn't have any touchdowns. 285 yards is fine, but with two interceptions and he fumbled twice, it looks like. So, you know, without the efficiency, I don't know that the quarterback play is going to be good on even on an offense that runs fast. But you can probably count on Breece Hall or Carter, Garrett Wilson, these guys getting a lot of targets. So I do think that this offense is worth buying into. In terms of that trade, I mean, I agree. I think just to get Breece Hall, to get the Breece Hall side of that trade is worth doing in a one quarterback league. In two quarterback, it's a little trickier.
Yeah, and just to bring this full circle back to Dameon Pierce, this is why, like, if you have rostered Pierce, I wouldn't be rushing out to sell him because you do want to sell him for a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you want to sell him for a lot. So if you're able to start him with confidence, by all means, please go ahead and do so, because you're finding a lot of teams trending towards this RBBC style, right? There's a good question again here in the chat where you thought in Jamal Williams. Well, Jamal Williams is a green zone monster, right? Like, Jamal Williams has essentially usurped Swift in the 20 yards and in. Like, he's getting all those high value touches. And for Swift to really pay off that 1-2 turn, like, he's going to need to start converting, unfortunately, right? Like, his long runs into scores.
Swift has been.
They're coming, right?
Every single game this season so far, it doesn't seem like he's completely healthy, so there is that. But
yeah, he left early today. Jamal Williams took over and just had 20 carries, 87 yards, 2 scores, right?
Oh, he did. He did leave early.
I think he did. Well, I mean, it would explain why he had 7 carries, 31 yards. I don't recall seeing any news alert pop up. So
yeah. Well, in any case, yeah, he's clearly not fully healthy. Jamal Williams, if he's going to be getting these goal line carries, then
he has been the first 2 weeks, right?
Yep.
I mean, because if you want to talk a little bit about, he played through Swift played through an ankle injury this week, so he did play.
Right.
But I mean, that said, if you can't go next week, man, Jamal Williams is going to just reap the Seahawks' souls. Because the other backup who actually went off this week was Khalil Herbert. This goes back to the Houston Bears game, a game that we just cannot get enough of, apparently. Khalil Herbert had 20 carries for 157 yards and 2 scores. He also got both of his targets for 12 yards. Right? Like, so this is a guy. I mean, this is just a team that is tough. It's just very tough. I was really big on Fields. That's looking like a very big mistake. The Bears have done him no favors. Like, I'm willing to keep the candle on for him until, like, the Bears get a real wide receiver, right? Because what's his name isn't one, Darnell Mooney. Like, he had 6 targets. He got 2 of them for 23 yards. And then, like, apparently post-game, even though they won, he was, like, practicing with the jugs machine. And it's like, yeah, dude, we get it, man. Like, you have a Napoleon complex.
Yeah.
Like how tall is Darnell Mooney anyway? 5'11". He's shorter than me. All right.
David Montgomery left this game early with a knee or ankle injury or something like that. But I think the latest I saw was that it's not serious.
Not too serious?
Yeah, so obviously if Montgomery's going to miss extended time, then Herbert is probably going to be the top add in most leagues where he's not already rostered. But anyway.
Yeah, but like the guy, but just to go back to the Jets, just because they're running so many plays, the guy who I really wish I could get, I had rostered more of, is Garrett Wilson. He got 6 of his 10 targets for 60 yards and unfortunately no scores. But I mean, it seems that he's like him and Elijah Moore running as a 1A, 1B, which is in direct, complete opposite to what the Bears have in Mooney, which is like a wide receiver 3 at best, right? So you've got Garrett Wilson, who is just a rookie who's going, and he was an exciting prospect, just a fantastic prospect. And it's like exciting to see him come on this early,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And I'm just optimistic that there's enough juice in the Zach Wilson tank to really help that offense unlock its true potential.
Yeah. There's not a lot from Wilson's rookie season that makes me particularly confident in what he's doing. But on the other hand, you know, there's not a lot. There wasn't a lot that Trevor Lawrence did today. He put up, well, that game. Oh yeah. Did it just end? He put up.
Yeah, it just ended. He I mean, the Chargers should not have been playing Justin Herbert for starters, but they just looked completely not ready to play at home.
Yeah.
They got completely wrecked. Isaiah Spiller was inactive.
Right. Yeah, right. We should talk about Spiller again because he's someone that we have rostered on a lot of teams and have continued to stash. And third straight game, he's been inactive, which, well, I don't know. That's never a good sign, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have a deep enough bench to stash guys that you don't actually expect to play, then he would be droppable at this point for sure, I would say, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think the only place you're holding him is like FFPC, like 20 roster things, 20 roster spots deep, right? Like that's the only place you could truly hold him, because there's no one else out there.
It kind of depends on whether you need to pick up guys to start, you know, like how bad is your team already? Do you need to fill holes in your starting lineup already? If you lost Montgomery or if you lost Dalvin Cook today, then maybe you need to drop Spiller to pick up someone who's going to take one of those starting spots.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I'm just chatting with one of our viewers right here, Kyle's Money. He's like, if you know, chip chasing fan, wrote of his radio guy talking about, we're just chatting about the rookie wide receivers. He brought up Chris Olave. It's almost like he's been looking at our show sheet because that's the guy we're discussing next. He got 9 of his 13 targets for 147 yards and no scores in the Saints' week 3 loss to the Panthers. This will honestly come to no surprise, right? Like this is a rookie wide receiver, just straight up like housing air yards. Like air yards are just like, he's just, I don't know, attracting deep balls. He's converting these. The big game is going to come. And then one day he's going to also land all the touchdowns. And that's going to be this massive freaking explosion. Like Olave is going to have a 50 point week this season. I feel it.
It seems like it. Yeah. I wrote about this last week. He is 334 air yards. He had last week were like the third most ever in a game since air yards have been tracked. It's not that much of a surprise to see this kind of game coming. It'll be interesting to see how many air yards he had in this one. He did have the 13 targets, so it's probably going to be a lot. But with this kind of usage, I would expect to see him have several more big games this season. So,
And also shout out to Traquan Smith for putting up a reasonable game. I don't think he's on rosters anywhere, and he shouldn't be, but he did well. Good job. I will say, like, it's impressive Jameis Winston's out here gutting this out. We know he's got fractures in his back. So, I mean, the fact that, you know, it's just a reminder of what these guys put themselves through for our entertainment. You know, like here's Jameis, like, nursing several, I mean, injuries that would have me bedridden for the rest of the year and possibly longer, just straight up going out there and, you know, chucking the ball incredibly just deep and making just, I cannot commend him enough.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another rookie I did want to get your thoughts on is someone that I did draft a lot of, Sky Moore, who fumbled the first punt of the game and then didn't see any more action in this game.
Yeah,
that the Chiefs ended up losing. Is Sky Moore someone you can continue to hold?
You kind of have to, but like Sky less, if you ask me, man. Like, we're in bad shape right now. With Sky Moore, like us slappies are just getting slapped, it's expected. A little bit. What's actually genuinely pathetic, I think, is their dependence on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Mm-hmm. 7 targets, 4 catches for 48 yards. This is not like they kept force feeding him the damn ball, and he kind of was useless. The running game is getting nothing going. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire had 7 carries without looking it up there. How many yards do you think he had?
Rushing yards. 25.
7 carries. He had 0 rushing yards on 7 carries. It's not like Isaiah Pacheco did much. Right? Sorry?
He had a touchdown though, right?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Saved his day with a touchdown. And
5 catches for 39 yards. But like, what is that though, right? Like, that's not what you were expecting where you're like, maybe it's fine where you're drafting him. I don't know. But like for Sky Moore, where we were drafting him, he's unfortunately like a hold. I don't know what else you can do. Like at this point, like I think we got to give it one more week before we start thinking about wavering him away. Cause once you get into the bye week, you cannot hold him anymore.
Yeah.
Like he's not starting for us. Juju, like the fact that they're so kind of off and on with him is kind of tilting. But I want to get your thoughts here on Isaiah Pacheco. He had 3 carries for 9 yards. Like, when is it Rojo time is my question, right? Like, because you can tell that this, like, running, like, he's consistently a game day inactive. Mm-hmm. And I think that they actually are going to need a pure through the tackles guy.
Yeah, I mean, after both Edwards-Hilaire and Pacheco struggled running the ball, I think it's definitely fair to ask why we're not seeing Rojo active. Yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see the snap shares. I guess, is Pacheco playing on special teams? Is that something that Rojo doesn't do? That might be a thing. I mean, I'm sure they don't want to carry 4 running backs.
Active. Well, I mean, they might. Yeah, but I mean, if they've decided to give Sky Moore some more time in incubation, we could see him become a game day inactive, right? And then the second Moore's in it, game day inactive, you gotta drop him.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would mean like the Sky Moore dream for 2022 is dead, right?
Don't say it.
It's fine. It happens. Mistakes happen to be made, right? Like how could you fault anyone for chasing a player on a Patrick Mahomes led offense that was drafted that early?
Right.
You can't because he's made Marquez Valdes-Scantling a thing, right? Like, on the other side, tight end Jelani Woods caught 2 of his 3 targets for 13 yards and 2 scores. Thanks for nothing, Jelani Woods. I mean, like, what are your thoughts on? I guess just what are your thoughts on Woods? I mean, is this someone who you're going out to grab? This is a disgusting tight end situation between him, Mo'Ali Cox, and Kylan Granson.
It is pretty bad, but I think the fact that he caught those 2 touchdowns, those are going to stick in coaches' minds. I think that it wouldn't be surprising to see him get more opportunity in this offense in the near future. And for that reason, I do think he's probably worth adding if you are in need of a tight end.
Yeah. I also think, like, I wanted to see, did you see what Isaiah Likely did today?
He had like
two targets, one catch for 8 yards.
Yeah.
Justice Hill, though. Anyway, I really don't want to talk much about the Ravens Patriots game. There's not, like, because we're trying to talk like primarily about rookies. Isaiah Likely was the only guy I was interested in. Did you see anything from Dobbins that you liked?
I mean, him getting the ball, and he looked good. He made some. He made a few nice catches that were good. I don't think you can expect that to be a big part of his game going forward. But obviously, when you know his first week back, I don't think it's surprising that they kind of eased him in. The thing that was most encouraging is that I didn't see Kenyon Drake or Mike Davis touch the ball at all. I didn't even see them on the field, although they might have been. But I think getting those guys as you know way less involved than they were is a good thing. The one other note from this game is that it looked like Mac Jones left. He was limping off at the end with a knee injury. Yeah.
Recent news on that was actually kind of positive in that he didn't seem to have damaged anything too badly. His ankle, luckily, thankfully, was intact. It sounds like it might be a bad sprain. Okay. He might be able to play through it, is the belief. He did lead Devontae Parker today to a career high, man.
No.
That was impressive. I do want to talk briefly about Jahan Dotson. So Dotson's a thing, huh?
Dotson's definitely a thing.
Eight targets today, only caught two for 10 yards. But I'm just saying that he's up there. Like him, Terry McLaurin, and Curtis Samuel are supremely up there when it comes down to target share. It's very condensed target tree.
Yeah.
Dotson is a guy who shouldn't be on waivers.
Yeah, he definitely shouldn't be on waivers. You would like, obviously, some more efficiency from this game. On the other hand, like the Eagles have been shutting down every quarterback they've played pretty much. So it's not that surprising that we didn't see a big game from this passing offense. It would be nice if the Commanders decided they wanted to give Sam Howell a try, but I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I think they need to, man.
They need to.
I think they need to. Wentz has just been this garbage time compiler. Like the Eagles put up 24 in the second quarter, and then they took their foot off the gas. Like, they've been an absolute mauling. They should not be playing Carson Wentz anymore. Season is over. The season is over.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree that Wentz is not the answer here, and Sam Howell might be. And you need to see what you've got.
You need to see this, and you need to fail. If you're going to fail, you have to fail fast.
I don't
fail
see
fast and start the process again next year.
That soon. Maybe if Wentz has a few more games like this. But
they just need to do it. It's the same thing. So like, and this is just to bring back the another rookie who we've been waiting on is Kenny Pickett here for the Steelers. I know it's not on our show sheet, but I just wanted to say that Trubisky, he's been blaming everybody but himself for the troubles. Like it's been the same way since Chicago. Yeah. That said, like Trubisky's playing like how we expect Trubisky to play. Which isn't very good. He hasn't really been using his legs either, so he doesn't have that much of like he can't really extend plays, and he isn't really playing within structure, right? Can't really hit his receivers over the middle. At some point, you just have to start the guy you paid a first round pick for. I know a lot of the quarterback pricing for some of these guys was deflated, in the NFL draft, but you just have to start Sam Howell to see what you have, because this like Washington has a very talented receiver core. And they're only putting up garbage time stats and not competitive right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be nice to see Pickett as well. I think it's probably the least or the one we expected to see the earliest out of all the quarterbacks, obviously, since he was drafted the earliest. But yeah, Trubisky is clearly not getting it done here. So I think we probably will see Pickett pretty soon.
Yeah. I'm hopeful.
What the coach says.
I'm hopeful. But I do want to talk about this one last rookie here. The Green Bay Packers is Romeo Doubs. He got 8 of 8 targets for 73 yards and a score. I will say the books today hung a prop line for him that opened at 28.5. That was his receiving line this morning. I don't think they're going to ever hang anything short of 40 for him going forward.
Yeah, that was pretty. This was a nice game, and hopefully, after this game, you see Rodgers looking his way a lot more. I mean, Dobbs probably is not quite the prospect Davante Adams was. He wasn't drafted as early either, but you know, he's someone who was super productive in college. He has some athleticism. I think it would be really interesting to see him as the wide receiver one in this offense, and looks like he's making a case for that. So
I'm done with Alan Lazard, dude.
Oh, for sure.
He got 4 of his 6 targets for 45 yards and a score. I really like. I know a lot of people didn't like him as a prospect, but I just want to see the upside in Christian Watson. I'm kind of optimistic that he's good too.
Yeah.
Like I think that he's good.
Was he? He was out because of a hamstring injury, right? Not a conscious decision.
Yeah. Is he not like the Packers' wide receiver core is banged up? I will say we got a couple of good questions in the chat here. One is Blair, would you trade Ja'Marr Chase for CMC straight up?
No.
The guys' other receivers are Lamb, Waddle, Godwin, and Wilson at wide receiver. He's got Barkley, Patterson, Hunt, Pierce at running back. I actually kind of agree with you. I think I'm much happier without CMC. I just don't think. Okay, so I'll be pretty blunt here. Like, I just don't think that CMC, who we saw years ago, is coming back.
Yeah, like, I mean, even today he had like
25 carries for 108 yards and only 2 catches for 7.
Yeah, and only on 4 targets. That's the big thing. Even though he had a decent day on the ground in terms of yardage, the thing that made McCaffrey the running back one and made him so good is that he was getting those targets, and that's just not happening in this offense for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Until we see that, I'm a little
I don't think we're gonna see that.
Yeah.
Like, I think like there were years, like we saw Laviska Shenault get two targets, Shai Smith get 2 targets, something called Giovanni Ricci get 2 targets. Right? You saw this, you saw 3 targets go to Ian Thomas and 1 go to Tommy Tremble. Like, the year where we saw CMC get all those targets was the year where DJ Moore got hurt. They had bad quarterbacks who just refused to push the ball downfield, and they just didn't care that much about running an exotic offense. Right. I think, and they were very, very concentrated on trying to get CMC the ball to get a 1,000 record, because they had nothing else going for their franchise at that point.
Yeah.
I don't think that CMC is not coming back. He's just not, like, he might be running routes, but at this point, like, I will hand it to the team for recognizing that, you know, in order to like up your EP, they are throwing the ball down the field. And as Kyle's money mentions, like, Baker looks bad. Yeah, he looks bad. He looks terrible.
Baker does look bad, but it's not like McCaffrey hasn't thrived with bad quarterbacks before. Yeah. I think it's true that Baker is bad, but it's also true that this is a really poorly coached team. I'm just
kidding. but I mean like, when, because Baker's like target share is what, cut in half now, like probably, well, more than half.
Baker only threw 25 passes today, so he's like, that's what, 18%, 17%. That's actually a good target share for a running back, but
he's catching like half of them,
right?
I mean,
it's like, about the overall play volume. It's the fact that Baker is not that great. Just a bad situation.
Yeah, and I mean, like, and there's another good question in the chat, which is, should I start Judy or Jeff Wilson in PPR? He's up 12 and he going up against Javonte Williams and Sutton. In this case, I'm actually going to lean towards, and he's up by 12. I'm going to lean towards Jeff Wilson. Mm-hmm. I think being a 12 point favorite, there's no one behind Jeff Wilson on that running back chart. Like, that, I think it's he's an undrafted free agent. I can't remember his name.
Mason.
Yeah, Mason. This is a team that wants to run. It does want to run with Jimmy G under center. Trey Lance isn't going to be stealing those running opportunities. I think you just go play for floor. And then if you lose to Javonte plus Sutton, you lose to Javonte plus Sutton. Judy's coming off an injury. I think this is a game flow situation where I think they're going to play Judy, but he's going to be more of like a decoy, if you will, because he's coming off. Because I don't think they're going to really need to press as much. What do you think, Blair?
I mean, I think that's right. I guess the one thing is, unless you think Wilson can put up enough to keep up with Williams and Sutton plus 12, you could start Judy and get that negative correlation so that if Sutton has a bad game, Judy probably has a good one. That's the only thing, but that's close. I mean, Wilson feels a little bit safer just because we know they like to run the ball. We know they like to go to Wilson, especially near the goal line. Tough call, though.
Yeah. I mean, best of luck to you, though. I'm hopeful that you pull out the win. That said, all right, so this was unfortunately a little bit of a quicker show. There's two games left, Dallas, New York, and we've got San Francisco, Denver. Blair, what are you looking forward to? What do you want to see? And what do you think everybody should pay attention to going into next week?
Well, my apologies to McSweet, but I do want to see Javonte Williams have a big game. He's on a lot of my rosters, and it would help me a lot. But and obviously seeing Saquon hopefully get back to his week one form would be big. That's something that, would be, has been sort of, or started to be a revelation this season, seeing him look like the Saquon of old. And I'm excited to see more of that.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I guess for me, I personally want to see Sutton take a step. Like, unfortunately, I would like to see Sutton do something. I'm actually interested to see who this guy they brought in for the Broncos, like, will like Hackett, like, really, really help Hackett not make painfully, obviously bad rookie mistakes. I think for tomorrow's Giants, for the Giants as Cowboys game, I'm just happy and thankful that football is on. I think I'm hoping just to see I'm hoping CeeDee Lamb can go off. I like Noah Brown. The guy who I'm going to really honestly be tracking, I think, next week, and this is the only guy we didn't talk about on the show sheet, was James Cook. He only had one rushing attempt today, but caught 4 or 5 targets for 37 yards. I wonder if he's going to actually build upon this, right? Like, could we see the Bills eventually be moving away from this three-headed monster they've constructed at running back? And they kind of did it today with James Cook seemingly overtaking Zach Moss in the receiving game. Yeah. So I wonder how long it is until he's just, like, totally takes over the Zach Moss role, including the carries.
Yeah, I mean, Moss did have more carries than him. This was another weird game because Singletary had 11 targets and he looked really good. And, I kind of still think Singletary might be the best running back in this backfield.
Damn.
But it's interesting, and it would be good to see Cook get more involved as a receiver, I think. Although, I don't know. The guy I own most is Singletary, so I just want him to get all the work.
Yeah, I've rostered Singletary the most as well, but I've got Cook on a bunch of dynasty teams that were very running back needy, and I'll be pretty honest, they're still very running back needy. So I'd like a little bit of clarity there.
One note that's worth, because it's kind of close to our hearts at RotoViz, Diggs did leave this game early, although I'm not sure. It wasn't clear there was an injury or just cramping or something. Have you heard any more of that?
I have not, but I'm going to keep my eyes open. It could possibly be cramping because there were some Bills players who did suffer like heat issues today and cramps.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely one to monitor. Obviously, Diggs was having an amazing season. So we hope that he's good to go next week. With that, I think we'll wrap it up. If you're... is there anything else we need to touch on?
No, I think we're absolutely good.
All right. Remember to rate and review the podcast channel, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we'll talk at you next time.